today's episode. It's a mailbag show, first ever, and that's basically because Ross didn't show up and Pat may or may not be drunk. I don't know.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
That's how all those five stars show up, because they get there, and then as they're touring the facility on their visit, they stop at the water fountain, have a little water, and my gosh, I'm coming here. I think Anthony Davis, John Wall just became that good on their own. No, it was the Rupp Arena water.
And SI's Pat Forty.
You've had a lot of weak takes this year, but the weakest is this bad photo from the Fat Bear Week. Come on, man. Come on. You don't have a birthright to claiming the Fat Bear every year.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. And I'm telling you, I feel like a group of five coach right now. commitment to the program is lacking here now the regular season has ended. Okay, let me break this down for you. Ross goes to Vegas to do one of these grand poobahs of college athletics, sit around and talk and do presentations.
Sit around and say how bad college athletics is?
Yeah. Right. Have meetings or something. Of course, once again, we had to do it in Vegas. I will say, our thoughts are with UNLV. That was a terrible tragedy. Kind of weird segue right there. Love that school. Wrote a book with Jerry Tarkanian. Spent a lot of time out there. Love that campus. There are a lot for AAU ball, summer leagues, all that. And so our thoughts are with UNLV. Another sad situation. But I don't think Ross got over there. No. So then Ross says he can't do the pod this morning because he's got to travel.
Apparently from Vegas. Do we know whether he's actually rolling dice at a craps table right now?
Is he like at McCarran making a last bet, just stunk drunk? I don't know what he's doing. We don't know that situation right now. Not reporting he is. I'm not reporting he isn't. But anyway, he ain't here. He hit the transfer portal on me.
And the rule of the pod, be here or be talked about.
Be here or be talked about. So I got that. Then I got my old standby here, Pat. Mm-hmm. So, Pat, you know, as we know, Sports Illustrated decided to name their Sportsman of the Year Deion Sanders, which was a very popular pick. Nobody made fun of that.
No.
Good choice. As I said before, I do believe he is a representative figure. And you wrote it. You actually wrote a really good Deion Sanders story. If you can get over the fact that Deion probably wasn't Sportsman of the Year. Maybe like it was, I don't know, Nikola Jokic, or maybe that would be the guy in Colorado I'd give it to. He could be representative of international play. Lionel Messi, I think, won Times Athlete. There are many others. Otani, I don't know. But whatever, let's just pretend that didn't happen. But if you can get over that, it's a hell of a story. Anyway, as SI would do, because you guys are just the champagne and strawberries organization. you had to throw a big party, right? A big party for Deion in Boulder. And so now you're here, but I have your blood alcohol level. I don't know what it is, but it ain't 0.0 based on what I'm hearing so far.
You don't know what it is. You don't need to know what it is. Nobody needs to know, but it was a good party. It was a really good party. And you know what? Coach, Boulder can go on a Wednesday night.
Okay.
To my immense delight. We had a great time. Coach Prime was there. We watched two episodes of the Amazon Prime Coach Prime series, which were, I will say this, it was objectively fascinating and unbelievable. The stuff that they had, specifically him with his feet and his surgeries. Wow. That dude went through some stuff just to be on the field to open the season against TCU. I mean, incredible. So I would recommend watching that, but I would also recommend the after party at the Boulderado Hotel and then someplace after that and maybe even a place after that. It was a good time.
Now, Coach Prime does not drink.
No, he does not. He had a bottle of water.
Okay, yeah. Coach Prime, I'm guessing, does not partake in the certain grown substances that are legal in Colorado. Coach Prime doesn't swear. To my knowledge,
he did not.
He doesn't even swear. Okay, so yeah, you are not
he's
out.
He's actually an old square.
Yeah, you know? He's a very old square. So I also want to make it clear, we're not insinuating that Pat was out with Prime till God knows what hour.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So all of the a Coach Prime party is watching him on TV. That makes kind of makes sense.
It was. It's
come to my
very...
party. We're gonna watch me on TV.
Yes, it was very meta. Very meta. Meta Prime. That was the deal. You know, there was a reception, and he said some words, and then there was a bigger thing with a bunch of fans, probably like 3,000 fans in the basketball arena. And then we all sat around and watched Coach Prime watch Coach Prime.
Okay.
So, all right. Hopefully, so he was on his phone texting, like, recruits and stuff from the portal.
Yeah. What do like, dude? You want to be – I said – I wrote a column. You don't want to be Sportsman of the Year. You want to be Recruiter of the Month.
Correct.
Old Prime better be working that thing hard right now. Ain't hard to find. It's hanging out with Pat. So this is what I'm working with. Fortunately, your humble correspondent is sober, bright-eyed, and bushy-tailed here, trying to serve our listeners.
Look at that. Selfless.
Everyone else? Sean's good, right? Maybe. I don't know. Did you get your first case in?
We're doing good. We're doing good over here.
Okay.
I guess for some reason, Wednesday night was party night all across the nation somehow. I had two roommates get back at 1 a.m. I don't know what that day was, but I guess people were getting after it.
Nobody invited me. Nobody invited me.
See, that's you're the faithful, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed correspondent by default, not because of, you know, a lack of interest, perhaps.
Fair point. Fair point. All right. So we decided, a lot going on, and I didn't know where to go with the show, and I didn't know if anyone else would be here. So thanks for showing up, Pat. You're better than Ross. You're on my list. You're ahead of Ross. So I asked for questions from the audience. We've never done a mailbag.
Never.
Never done a mailbag. And this could be popular because the questions are great. We're not going to get nearly to all of them. I couldn't, I should have known, but thank you, people. We really appreciate all of you. Thank you for listening and supporting this podcast, because there's over 100, I think. I mean,
I was going to say, the last time I looked, you know, somewhere between beer four and beer later, there was at least 100.
Oh, yeah. This maybe more. I don't know. There's a lot. DMs, everything. So we will try to get to some of them here. It's going to be great. Off season. I need you people to do the work, because, I mean, coworkers, you know, we all know how it is. Okay. At Mountain West 9. The Mountain West checked in, I guess. And I wanted to get to this topic. So me and Mountain West 9 right on it. What the heck is going down at Ohio State? Those boys jumping in the portal like crazy. Yes, and I Ohio State situation is rattling me, Pat. Rattling me. Maybe that's why I didn't get hammered last night. Ohio State is like the bedrock. It's the cornerstone of all of college football. I can't fathom them not being good. I can't fathom them even being wobbly. It's been so long since. I there was the Luke Fickell season when he had to be the interim.
Right. But that was like 2011.
You know? Yeah.
It's been a while.
A little. I mean, Trestle wasn't always in the title contention, but it was a different era. But like, I don't know what we're going to get out of Ohio State next year. 12 players are in the portal, including Kyle McCord, the quarterback. You're going to lose another 17 to 20 naturally are going to graduate or whatever. You're going to replace, more than 30 of your team. Again, they have a great recruiting class coming in. I'm just used to it just turning over, right? Boom, next, right? Marvin Harrison's leading. That's all right. They got all these other.
Yep.
They may lose their number one recruit in the country. Could flip to Miami. That would be the next thing. Good news, Travion Henderson is back. But I just don't know where we're at with this program. I'm not saying they're going to fall apart, but at this moment to sit there and say, oh, Ohio State's a national title contender, which I could pretty much say every single year for the last 15, 20 years. I don't know. the whole bit on Kyle McCord, I just don't get. Yeah. Everyone's like, well, let's just get someone better in the portal. Who?
Right.
Who is better than Kyle McCord in the portal? I would say Dylan Gabriel, but he doesn't appear to be going to, he's not on there. He's not looking at that list. I'm looking at the Athletics deal. He's going to visit Oregon this weekend. Usually when they visit Oregon, they don't, that's it.
Yeah.
Cam Ward, I like a lot. Yeah.
Right.
Right now, he's looking at Miami, USC, Florida State, Washington, Nebraska, and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But even then, is Cam Ward necessarily better than Kyle McCord? The transfer quarterbacks, and I'll let you get to it.
Yeah.
If you look, other than Caleb Williams last year, who was obviously fantastic, most of the ones that are great, they do it their second year in the program. Jaden Daniels, right. Michael Penix, yes. Bo Nix. It takes a little time. The plug-and-play guys this year, I think DJ Ungolay was the only one in the top 20 in QBR and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Are we sure we're getting a better quarterback? Are you going to go Aaron Norland, their incoming freshman? Like, what is up with the Buckeyes? I'm nervous, Pat. They've made Ryan Day's now making me nervous. I can only imagine what's happening with the Bucknuts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would imagine the Bucknuts are all sitting there saying, "Well, just get other people because we have lost a game to Michigan 3 years in a row, and that's intolerable. So the next people have to do better." But it ain't that easy, and that's the thing. You look at Kyle McCord's numbers. I mean, we all watched him. We know he's not great, but he ain't bad either. I mean, you can win with him. They won 11 games. They damn near won 12. They almost beat Michigan in that last game. And so give him a second year, and you think he's going to be better. And so without him, yes, where do they go? And the immediate speculation was that Cam Ward was going to be their guy, and now it looks like he might not be their guy. And where they go, I don't know. And, putting your eggs in a freshman basket is rarely a good strategy in college football. That's just for a quarterback especially. They're just that you can't just stick him in there and say, he came in early in January. He'll be ready. It's rarely the case. So it is fascinating. It is a bit unsettling because usually Ohio State, you truly just roll out the team and they win 11 at least. Non-conference schedule next year is Michigan-like. Akron, Western Michigan, and Marshall.
Yeah.
And they do go to Oregon because they're now going to be a Big Ten school, so that'll be interesting. They go to Penn State, and then, of course, they got Michigan at the end. But
schedule is not that hard. They did not get the brunt of the expansion.
Right.
Because basically you're placing Oregon with Notre Dame.
Right, right.
And certainly this year Oregon's better, but that's not an overwhelming change. And then you just swap, and then Michigan you get at home, but you got to go to Penn State.
Yeah,
so they've got it pretty easy.
Right, but the other thing too, I mean, look, you've got to be good enough to beat Michigan. That's what it will boil down to at the end, most likely. And
you can get in the playoff, but what's the playoff if you're not winning
game?
Like, imagine losing to Michigan and losing a first round game or something like that. I don't know. Cameron Ward is really very good at Washington State, but that was a certain type of offense.
Yes.
His numbers are crazy, but he throws, I think, like 40 times a game.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You're playing total, just chuck it. And a lot of the time you're playing from behind, and that's not going to be the case necessarily at Ohio State.
So I'm guessing Coach Day has got a plan, but I guess I don't know what it is. It's not as simple. Two thoughts on this one. Two thoughts. One, they really got hurt when Quinn Ewers transferred. Turned out they had an embarrassment of riches. I never knew why Quinn Ewers went there in the first place.
Yeah.
Under that, what was that, Kim? What was that stuff he was selling supposedly?
Kombucha or whatever.
Yeah. What is that? I don't even know what that is. Pete used to say he was going to make a million bucks selling this stuff. I'm like, well, I'll start selling it. What is it? It's not weed.
No, it's like a tea or something, It doesn't taste very good. I think I tried it once.
I don't think he's made a million. Anyway, he went to Ohio State. He wasn't going to play last year, obviously, at C.J. Stroud. He would have been a first-year guy this year. That probably would have solved their problem. Although, again, he's in his second year now. He wasn't, you know, we heard, oh, Quinn Ewers, greatest, perfect recruit, right? I think he had a perfect rating by like 20. Well, he wasn't that good last year. Even this year, he hasn't always been great. But I think that would have been part of it. Him transferring to Texas and getting that experience going and getting that clock going, I think was big. And then there's one other that I thought Jimmy Watkins at Cleveland.com wrote this column that Kyle McCord has now transferred. Kyle McCord is famously the guy that Ryan Day took over J.J. McCarthy. McCarthy wanted to go to Ohio State. He was kind of told they're not going to take a player QB. There was some miscommunication. He ends up taking Kyle McCord. McCarthy gets quite upset and said, vowed to kill Ohio State. That was his bit. He quickly commits to Michigan. And by now essentially beating McCord head to head and chasing him out, it's like a movie version. Right. Not to give any more drama for JJ to play with, but he has quote unquote maybe killed Ohio State. That's kind of fun, right? Well, you took that guy, not this guy. I'm 3-0 against you.
Yep.
And this guy's gone, and you don't seem upset that he's gone. So, that was a good point by Jimmy. Good job up there at Cleveland.com. So I don't. Anyway, let's go to the next one, I guess. Or go ahead.
Go to the next one. But no, I mean, like you said, I mean, Ohio State is one of those. You just set your clock by them. They're going to be there. And for there to even be any sort of unknown is an interesting development, for sure.
Yeah.
But their spring practice will be closely watched. Their fall drills, we'll see what they put on the field.
I was bullish on them next year because I think you get Kyle McCord another year and a whole another year to develop, and you go,
yeah,
this guy should be pretty good. He is not what their prototype quarterback. He can't run.
Mm-hmm.
But I also am like, if you're a college coach making $10 million a year, you should be able to find a way to make. What would they do with like Peyton Manning now? Would anyone recruit him? Is he like a 3-star?
I would hope there's still a place for Peyton Manning.
I don't like his mobility. I'm not going to take him. Like, okay.
Well, if everybody's frothing over Cam Ward, he's not much of a runner. I mean, he's an okay runner. I mean, he ran for 144 yards on 120 carries, which means he basically runs in place. So, yes, Kyle McCord will play. I think will be a very good quarterback somewhere next year. He'll be a starter. He'll do well. You know, he's got to be a little more accurate, especially when the pocket starts to collapse on him. But he's a good player.
I'd like to see Dante Moore. I think Dante Moore's certainly be interesting, but I don't know. We don't know what Dante Moore at least has a year of playing under his belt or part of it. But would you be like, yep, that's it. We got this guy.
Right.
We'll be good. 12-0. And I don't know if that'll happen. I actually hear Michigan has got a chance with him because they actually want to develop and wouldn't even mind if McCarthy came back. So we'll see.
Right.
All right. At Arrows for Apples. At Arrows for Apples. And he represents many people. I'm sorry about this. A lot of questions about this Charlie Baker letter, the missive, the directive. If Charlie Baker's idea of a new subdivision goes through, do you see that being as one big conference, or do conferences like the SEC and Big Ten make it through? And we could just use this as a proxy in general. Your thoughts on the reaction? We'll get to that second. Your thoughts on the reaction to the Charlie Baker letter from commissioners and athletic directors and people on the ground?
Yeah, well, it's very interesting. For one, like, everybody's pissed that they didn't get consulted. And I can understand some of that, you know, like Charlie just kind of went a little bit Lone Ranger on
Governor.
This. Yeah. Governor Baker.
Include the legislature.
Yeah. Right. But I think he wants to put his stamp on things. And I'm not sure he was all that interested in He's talked to a million people over the course of 8 months or 9 months or 10 months or whatever. But he's like, okay, I've gathered feedback and then I'm going to go do my thing. And a lot of people didn't like that. They felt like that should have been run by them, or they should have at least known what was coming. I don't know. But I've heard that from a bunch of commissioners, athletic directors, like, why weren't any of us consulted? There's a lot of, you know, there's a ton of unfinished business in the letter. Like, how would this work? What, you know, the details are still way out there. And so people then, you know, gravitate to that. Like, okay, what would this look like? And the answers really aren't there yet. Presumably they'll come. But the reaction has been, okay, you know what? We got to do something. So good. But I'm not sure everybody's on board with this as the something. And I think a lot more people would have liked to have been consulted, which is usually the case with about everything you come up with. Like, people want to know before they know.
Yeah, I found the reaction almost like it wasn't taken with great seriousness.
Right.
It's almost like there's so much work to be done and there's enough of a... I don't know, enough of a bit where they weren't consulted, they weren't respected, that they're just sort of like, I don't know what that thing is. Like, I'm not digging into the weeds on this.
Right.
And then there's stuff like, wait, 30,000, like, how much we got to pay all these kids? Like, does that make any sense?
Yeah.
What do we do? I think it's back to the drawing board on this. I don't see anything imminent on it. But we'll see. He said he's trying to kickstart a conversation. He got that going. As for will the conferences make it? Charlie was saying, I guess, like 100 schools could do this.
Right.
I'm not really sure how this trims anything down. There's 133, but like some of those are barely. I mean, my alma mater plays FBS football, UMass. Like, it's not really.
Right.
Here's what I would say. And we've said this before, they can't really just do an NFL light with 35, 40 teams where they just play each other, because you can't get the fans. What happens when you're the 40th place team? You have to get victories. College football is more than just football. It's about bringing people onto the campus. It's having a marching band. It's all the stuff that they, you know, it's alumni, it's promotion. You want to win because people feel good about it. You look good. You have to rack up wins. And if you don't, the season becomes a disaster. So you have to be able to play teams you win. You take like a Michigan State that would presumably be in that top 40, and Auburn, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to get to six, or, you know, they got to play New Mexico State because it's a nice, fun day, right? And have it. Oh, whoops. but you can't go 1-11. You go 1-11, you have no fans. It's a negativity. It's, my God, we suck. We're the Arizona Cardinals. Screw people with bags over their heads and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you have to find a way to schedule victories. You can't just sit there and play major on major because someone's going to go 1-11. And unlike the NFL, when you're 1-11, you don't then get the number one recruit in the country.
Right.
You don't get to say, well, okay, but we're going to get Trevor Lawrence, we're going to get CJ Stroud, and all of a sudden, and so you, as a fan, you fight through that. Attendance sucks. Everyone makes fun of your team. It's all negative. But there's hope at the end, and then all of a sudden you get somebody good, and hey, we're back, we're 8-3, right? Like Jacksonville, Detroit, these teams have come back.
Mm-hmm.
In college football, the best teams get the number one pick. So the Patriots would just have kept loading up, right? Everyone would want to go play with Patrick Mahomes. There'd be no hope. So unless you install a draft in the high school talent, which is an absurd absurd thing. Yeah. Talk about needing congressional. All right. It's like, I still you got the union to agree to it. I'm still not even sure how pro sport drafts are legal, but they are, whatever.
Right.
I don't want to know. I'm thankful for them. you can't do this. So I do not believe that any proposal will just automatically be like, well, there's only 45 teams. The rest of you guys turn your stadium into a chem lab or something like that.
No, I mean, how that works, where the cutoff is. Yes, you do have to play those games. Michigan State needs to play Central Michigan, hopefully without Connor Stallions in disguise on the opposite sideline. But, you know, you want to win. You want to, you know, get yourself to six. You mostly want the fans to say, hey, we're pretty good and keep coming back. They want to come back to campus, the alums and everything once, but they don't necessarily want to keep coming back if you're terrible. And so having a schedule that goes beyond playing the top 70 or whatever is kind of vital to the whole deal. You want the home games, you want the home revenue, you want to win the games, all those things. You want to be able to bowl eligible. Lord knows we have to prop up the bowl industry, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of issues detail-wise that have to be resolved with this. You can't completely kick the MAC to the curb. You can't kick the Sun Belt to the curb. You can't kick Conference USA to the curb because you got to play them still. How does that work other than paying them to show up?
And there is a financial incentive that we already see for their existence. And there will be a increased financial. There is a reason to prop them up and include them. Anytime anyone's talking about, hey, we're going to have a 35-40 team, that's it. That's just not how it works.
No.
That person doesn't know what they're talking about. It would be an abject failure.
Right. But how do you get to 100? I don't know. I've talked to a lot of people about that. Just like, who's the 100? And a couple of people have, you know, speculated that there will be a shakeout within the shakeout. Like there will be some schools and possibly, you know, like Boston College may say, you know what, are we really into this or not? Do we want to, you know, scale it back and just try to, you know, play maybe a slightly lesser brand of football? I don't think so, because once you're in the club, you always want to stay in the club.
It's hard.
And once you get the revenue in the club, you become addicted to the revenue. But
I always look at it like, put your money where you have a chance. Like Boston, like put your money in your hockey and basketball programs.
Yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with NIL and investment is so big.
Right.
Right. You're surrounded, but Boston College has been good at basketball, but you're watching UConn win national championships. Well, you could do it. Lots of teams in the Northeast are good at basketball. Hockey, they've won many.
Yeah.
I know hockey's not as popular as basketball, and basketball is not as popular as football, but who cares? It's that same community thing.
Yep.
Pretty popular in Boston. But trying to do that. So what I would say is, yes, you could have separate levels, but you're already seeing it. Like group of five teams, if you got a star player, he's out. He's gone.
Yeah.
But a lot of that is the kids want to go play at the biggest level. They got misidentified out of high school.
Right.
You know, I like the idea that some kid can be like, well, I'm going to, you know, I'm going, you know, I, they put me in, the SEC didn't want me. I'm in the Sun Belt. I'm Sun Belt's defensive player of the year as a sophomore. And now the SEC wants me. Good. You've earned that.
Yeah.
So there'll be divisions as there already are. Mm-hmm. But the idea that you would just break off and just have 12 games a year against the same 35 teams, that's the stuff I'm talking about.
Right, right. That ain't happening.
Farwell 3D, do you think there's a legit chance if FSU ends up as the only undefeated Power 5 team, we might get the return of the split national championship? So this would require either Alabama or Texas winning the playoff, which absolutely could happen. Mm-hmm. FSU beating Georgia, which may have like 12 guys on the, guys are going to have to play two-way the way the Georgia kids are all turning pro. Would that be enough for FSU at 14-0 to get the AP give them the trophy, Pat?
Yeah, I've been fascinated with that concept since this all came out. It's like, if you're Florida State, first of all, you got to win the game. But secondly, if you do, play it to the hilt. calling, emailing every AP voter, every coach voter, you know, those in those polls and say, hey, we're 14-0 over here. We just didn't get our chance. You know, we're good enough. Vote us number one and see if you can at least get a split out of it. And even if you don't, just do what Central Florida did and just proclaim yourself national champions. You know, that's what they did, what, 2017 or whatever. There will be, if they win and they're 14-0, there will be a sign, I would imagine, in Doak Campbell Stadium next year that says, you know, 2023 national champions, one way or the other. Yeah. But and if I were an AP voter, I'd be subversive enough to like, yeah, I would consider it. Sure, because these things are so dumb. But, you know, why? I mean, I would play all the cards that you have if you're Florida State and see if you can cajole the voters along to go along with you.
Our buddy Ward Henniker down in Alabama, yeah, the lawyer, yeah, in case you're in trouble in Alabama, and based on most of our listeners, it's a possibility. Call Ward. Yeah. He came by and drank with us one time at the tailgate in Tuscaloosa. If you took the rosters of all the CFP playoff teams and had them face 747 the Bear, who would survive? Unfortunately, 747 did not win this year because it was cheated, much like Florida State, cheated by the Fat Bear Week playoff committee. If Ron DeSantis commits $1 million to suing the Katamai National Park in Alaska for the bad photo they did of 747 and cheating the rightful national champion in Fat Bear Week, I would vote for Ron DeSantis. I'll be a single issue voter on this. But so I appreciate Ward acknowledging that's really the biggest bear out there is 747.
Sure.
See, which, you know, I guess he's saying which team could fight 747, right, and beat him.
First of all, you've had a lot of weak takes this year, but the weakest is this bad photo from from the Fat Bear Week. Come on, man. Come on. You don't have a birthright to claiming the fat bear every
bitter,
year.
Bitter. So.
But I would say, like, you need offensive line maulers if you're gonna mm-hmm. handle 747. So
they see like 85 scholarship players attack hand to hand combat with 747 the Bear.
Yeah.
Could a team would the Bear kill all 85, or would they get the Bear?
No, see, I like, and I 85 would definitely kill the Bear. So I think you may need to make it 11 on one.
How? Make punching it starting, it? Like everyone punching the Bear?
I guess, or, you know, kicking or whatever, jumping on his back. I don't know what you do. And I kind of still like the Bear 1-on-11. But Michigan's got a great offensive line. So although even with the Zach Zinter injury, they might not be up for that. So
yeah.
You might need like Alabama's D-line.
Committee be like, well, since we're going to the Bear without Zinter, it's not the same team. It's not the same right. team. Put yeah. another SEC team in there.
Yeah, somehow that hasn't stopped Michigan. Yeah,
I would certainly take Michigan only because this is the kind of thing that would get Harbaugh. Harbaugh would be game planning this.
Oh yeah, he'd be.
How does 85 college football players kill a massive grizzly bear in Alaska? He would figure that out. This is actually, he'll be better at that than game planning for Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would, this would really get him excited. Where's the game? We're doing it out.
Where?
Is it a road game? You got to go to Alaska. That's advantage for 747. The cold, terrain.
And I think you do have to go to Alaska because try to get 747 on a plane. It's not happening.
But if it's this weak sauce neutral site, he's not as good down in the heat as Pasadena.
Yeah, so no, you got to go to him. It's a home game, Katmai Peninsula or whatever the hell it is.
And, Connor Stallion's like hanging off a Denali with a scope camera. Yeah,
right.
I noticed his left leg's a little weaker than the right. Michigan is the only answer here. It's the only answer.
Yes, Michigan is the only answer.
They would cheat. They would scout, they would in-person sign, they would game plan. If there is a chance, it is Michigan. The other ones, I don't know. I don't.
No.
Kalen DeBoer would be like, what are you guys, idiots? And Saban be like, what?
Yeah, I can see Harbaugh like bent over, hands on his knees, watching.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Like, mm. Oh, yeah.
Mason Graham, get in there. Go low. Go low.
Pad level.
Yeah.
747 ain't played nobody, Paul.
And that's the thing. He has. He played them all.
That's the thing he has. All right. Let's see what else we got.
Good question from Ward. Good question.
Yes. This is from E. Schiller. Eric Schiller. No, Eric Hiller. I don't know where the S came from. Eric Hiller at E. Schiller. Of many that made fun of the way I speak. I mean, I deserve it. It's an audio medium. English is my first language. But you wouldn't know. Dan.
First and last.
It's my last language. Yeah. I've always wondered, why do you hate the letter R in frustrated? And I just say frustrated. That's funny.
What's your answer? Why do you, Dan?
There was another one here. I want to give credit to whoever else was like, did you have, like, what is this? I don't know, someone was trying to. Okay, so here's what happened. Okay, here's what happened. I think I've said this. I had an extremely thick Boston accent.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely thick Boston accent. I went to the University of Massachusetts, and I got to the University of Massachusetts, which is the state school of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, as you might imagine. It's 90 minutes from Boston. And the kids at UMass made fun of my accent. My roommate, Maddie Trider, same situation. Mm-hmm. We were made fun of because our accents, like, people didn't understand our accents. And so they just were very thick. So that I didn't care. And went about my business. But then I became a newspaper reporter in Indianapolis. This is where my first newspaper job was, the Indianapolis News, the great Hoosier Daily since 1888. Mm. They went out of business, but it was great. And I was on the crime beat. And I don't know what these editors thought. They were probably laughing at me nonstop, but they would send me out into the streets of Indianapolis to find crime and report on it. And it was just a disaster. Be like, well, it's a big car wreck. I'd be up there like, you know, hey, kid, you smashed your car on the wall. What's up? What happened? And they'd be like, what? This person, this Indiana guy would just be like, what? And then they'd be like, where are you from? And the whole reporting process would get thrown off. And they'd end up interviewing me. Because nobody moves to Indianapolis. They moved to Indianapolis from like Carmel.
Yes, yeah, from Seymour, Indiana.
Or some little town somewhere. Nobody goes, no one's like, hey, I think I'm going to move from Boston to Indianapolis. Nobody. I might be the only one ever. Charlie Baker won't even move.
He will not.
Charlie Baker's the president of the NCAA, and he's like, oh, no, I'm staying in Boston. I'm not moving to Indianapolis. So I had to rework the accent. And on the fly at like 22 years old, and it just didn't work. And then I moved to Chicago, then I moved to Detroit, and it's just not gone well. It's just not gone well. I need a speech pathologist. I need all sorts. I need Rosetta Stone. I need Michael Phelps. I need all sorts of stuff. And you, the listener, have to suffer. So that's what happened.
There we got the origin story now.
I'd be better off with just a Boston accent. But I don't have it anymore because I had to get rid of it because I couldn't do my job.
So you lost the accent, but you also lost other facets of pronunciation
the
way.
Yeah, lost right. It's just not good. So I don't know why I say frustrated and not frustrated. I have no idea. Probably because I tried to get rid of the R's. Anyway,
well,
there you go.
You know what? In my personal opinion, it's now an endearing feature of the podcast. So.
I mean, it ain't going nowhere. You want? There's plenty of podcast hosts out there that can speak proper English. You can go listen to that.
Yeah, if you want perfect diction, go find it.
Let's see, I thought this was a good one. Boiler alum 97 at YPres Salient. With the craziest in NIL, portal, tampering, plus coaches that can't show respect, Harbaugh and Day, and run up the scores, Franklin. Ooh, James Franklin catching it from the Boilers. Mm. Please share your personal stories about coaches who ran their programs the right way to remind us that the sport can find its bearings. This is going to be a short segment.
Yeah.
I would say this. Is there one major college football and basketball coach that they would know that if your son was that person that could go to anyone that you would most want as their coach, Pat, that you've ever known? Not just for like development of NFL talent
Right. Yeah, no, it was probably David Shaw, who, you know, retired after like four straight losing seasons. Yeah. So there's the problem. You know?
Like David Shaw.
Great guy, great perspective, great with young men, but 4-8 every year after a while. Sorry. So I mean that there's always that part of it. Like that, you know, my kids were all college athletes and they all had awesome coaches. And not just because they were successful, but they actually, they gave a darn about all their swimmers. But football is so different, man. It's just, you know, I mean, it is such a bottom line business. How many well-adjusted coaches are there out there that win? There's not a lot.
So the name that popped up for me is the late Skip Prosser, who coached basketball at Wake and Xavier.
Yeah, good one.
I was always a big Skip Prosser fan. He would call you up anytime you talk to Skip Prosser. The first thing he'd say is, what are you reading? He's a, I'm going to say this word wrong after my, and now I'm gun shy about saying words. Ferocious. What is it? Voracious.
Voracious.
Now I'm rattled, Pat. I'm rattled. I need a drink. You're just sitting there trying to work a hangover off and I'm over here sober and struggling. Anyway, Skip Prosser to me was, very demanding, all that stuff. But education was actually part of his life. He would take the team on a European trip. You know, they go on the European trips.
Yeah.
And he would make everyone, including him, take like at least a one credit class the semester before on, like if they're going to Italy, they would learn about Italy, or they go into.
What a great idea. That's awesome.
Right. And he would take it too and even do the paper.
Hmm.
Actually, he showed me. He was very excited. Now, maybe he had a tutor do the work. I don't know. But no, Skip, I'd rather have Skip do it. He was actually into education about as much as any coach I've ever met.
Yeah.
And then all the coaches started being like, oh, you know, an international trip? Let's go to Bahamas, right? They wouldn't even, there's no education. Or
no. The education is how to put on your sunscreen.
Yeah. They didn't, like the other guys are like, yeah, we're going to a water park. And like Skip's like, no, we're going to learn about Italian art history here. Yeah. And so I would say Skip Prosser would be my guy. So
that's a good one. That's a good one. And boy, what a tragic thing for him to have left us as early as he did.
Yeah. Terrific guys. Very, very sad. Very sad. Yeah. And huge loss to college basketball because he really was a unique guy. And he'd find those players that appealed to him, you know.
Oh yeah,
he had some great players: Chris Paul, David West. I mean, he had some great teams.
Yeah.
But I would go with him. I never met anyone who's that much into actual college part of college athletics.
Right.
At OSU fan 0387. Good. I love this. Why the 0387? I don't know. Is that like his fault? Anyway, to celebrate the end of the 4-team playoff era, which champion of the 4-team playoff era, did you feel is the best of the era? And could one of these 4 teams pass them? Who's the best team in the last 10 years?
Excellent question. And no, none of the current teams could pass the team I'm thinking of. I would say 2018 Clemson, 2019 LSU. But 2018 Clemson was an ass-chewing machine, man. They were great. Alabama was a great team, and Clemson destroyed Alabama in the championship game, like 48-16. I mean, so that was Trevor Lawrence. That was T. Higgins. That was Etienne, I believe, was young then, but he was on the team. And like the defense, they had all those maulers. Yeah. So I would say that is probably the best team I've seen. And like the funny thing, Alabama's won more championships. Alabama 2020 was awfully good too. I mean, that was an incredible team, but I would go with Clemson 2018 as my choice.
Alabama 2020 went 13-0, but only played – they had to play an all-SEC schedule that year.
Right, which was hard to go undefeated in that schedule.
Yeah. I got to go with LSU, that LSU yeah. team, 2019 LSU. They beat that Clemson team that still had most of those guys, including Trevor Lawrence and Etienne, right?
Yes. They had lost the receivers, I believe, like Higgins.
So they beat them 42-25 yeah. in the down in New Orleans that year. They destroyed everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Was there Alabama was close. That was such a massive game.
Remember that? Yeah.
Auburn was close too. There were a couple. Maybe that was it. But oh yeah, it was an incredible football game. One of the best college football games I've ever seen. The amount of talent on that field. Because yeah. that's at Alabama teams building to the next year.
Yes.
But they put 46 on Nick Saban that year. Obviously they had Burrow. Yeah, I would say
Jamar Chase and
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the guy, like, against Alabama. So, like, all of a sudden, like, whoa, this dude's great.
Derek Stingley Jr. on one corner.
Yeah.
Just looking at this Ross. Yeah. Oh, Delpit. Yeah, I mean, they had so many good players.
Mm-hmm.
And the line. That offense. I think that offense could beat any. I mean, you kind of saw that. So that's my thing. I think you had LSU and a lot of that Clemson. Would Clemson? I'm going 219 LSU, and yeah, I don't think anyone's beating those guys. All right, Chris Vagts. Do you think the FSU snub is any sort of indictment on the perception of the ACC, and could this be the first domino that eventually brings down the conference as we know it?
Yeah, it's kind of an indictment of the ACC, but that's also brought on by Florida State trashing the ACC for the entirety of the summer. You know, having spent the whole time saying, we're too good for this league, we need more of the money. That did not help the perception of the league at all. And could it help bring, that's a very elusive question. I mean, everybody thought, myself included, Florida State was leaving. But you can't. Again, like the details of how you get out of a conference where you've got a grant of rights signed through 2036 are really difficult. It's not easy to, first of all, you're forfeiting hundreds of millions of dollars. Secondly, you're going to have to sue your way out. I think it's definitely a blow to the ACC, and I think it's one that they're well aware is a blow. But just saying, we want out, is one thing, and then actually getting out is another.
Yeah. So there's a little bit, I agree. I don't know how you get out, because that grant of rights is that grant of rights. There is this argument. I was talking to my friend Jose Baez, great lawyer and FSU fan. He's not happy.
Yeah.
It's the man who represented and got an acquittal for Aaron Hernandez and Casey Anthony, among other impossible to win cases. Don't mess with Jose Baez in a courtroom. If you killed somebody, I'll just do a little personal info for everybody. If you're accused of killing somebody or you have actually killed them, hire Jose Baez. That would be my, just in case any of our listeners find themselves in that situation.
I mean, we don't condone murder, you know, but should you end up on the wrong side of a rap?
There you go. So would not getting in, it's called like a frustration. Here it is. The word comes back. Frustration of purpose. If you're the basic tenet of membership in the ACC, is it broken by not getting in this playoff? So obviously it could be better here if Jose was explaining this to us, but he explained it to me and I'll butcher it. The expectation of being a member of the ACC is if you go 13-0, you will make the playoff. And therefore, when you go 13-0 and don't make the playoff, is a basic tenet of being a member of this conference somehow violated or broken? This would be the broad strokes. I don't need Ward and all the other lawyers. We got a lot of lawyers listening to this thing. And the rest of you yelling at me. Okay. I'm a Cracker Jack box lawyer. But would you be able to say, look, this conference is not living up to what the basic assumption is if you go perfect, you get in? Because never before in the history of the sport has a perfect team not done it. And actually, Auburn back in the day at the SEC.
Yeah. 2004.
But could you make that argument and therefore get out?
That's interesting. The problem there, though, is like, no, because the math says five Power Five conferences, four spots. And so,
yeah,
somebody's always going to be left out, and it may be an undefeated team sometimes. Again, yes, it is new precedent for it to be an undefeated team, but in terms of theoretical possibility, it's always been possible. And it's always been the case that at least one of the Power Conference champions is not going to the playoffs. So, I mean, I'd like to hear Jose Baez argue it. It'd be kind of interesting, but I ain't buying it.
Yeah, I don't know. Plus, John Swofford was there to create the first, the five Power Five, four spot group.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Jim Phillips was part of the delay. So, I don't know. Man, I don't want to go against Jose, man. Loyal listener Melissa Caden, one of our 1% female listeners.
There we go.
Yeah, she said, give a shout out that her husband, Kirk, is the golf coach down in Mercer. She's a very loyal listener through the years. How is Jordan Travis's value not being injured keep his team out of the playoff, but not in New York City for the Heisman?
Well,
I get they are separate entities, but man, what a slap in the face.
Yeah, I mean, that's a strong argument from Florida State people. It's like, if he's so indispensable that our season is now ruined, then maybe he should win the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for making that argument. I personally thought they should have been in the playoffs, but the guys that are going to the I could see actually Jordan Travis ahead of Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison's probably the best player in college football, but his season was not so overwhelming that I think he necessarily needed to be one of the four finalists. I think the quarterbacks, and this is, I know there is, this award has become a quarterback award to a degree, other than Devontae Smith in 2020. But you if you slotted Jordan Travis in and took Marvin Harrison out, I would not complain.
I think he should be docked a couple points because they kept us, Gus Johnson kept calling him Maserati Marv. I didn't think that was the best. Marvin Harrison, I'm good with him being. It can't just be quarterbacks. I mean, it can be, but God, I mean,
Maserati Marv and Honda McCord. That was the line that came back for poor Kyle McCord.
Oh yeah, Honda McCord. Yeah, I didn't hear that. They would have put McCord in the transfer portal like the fourth week if it wasn't for. Yeah. Marv. Yeah. You don't need a nickname when your nickname is Marv. When your name is Marv, it's just perfect. And you already have a famous name.
Yeah, right. You're Marvin Harrison.
Like, my God. You got enough problems. All right. You got to deal with trying to live it up. Tim Penland, will someone please tell us who wrote the Epic Athletes series? Thank you, Tim. I've been wondering that myself.
Oh, no.
Terrific holiday gift available on Amazon.
You should not have been put in charge of the questions here.
I don't even know Tim. He sends the. I'm just answering the questions, Pat. It's a great gift for the young reader in your life, sports fan.
Oh, God.
Let's see.
I'm going to check my questions here now.
Oh, you got some? All right. Let's see what you got.
Oh, yeah, I got some. Let's see. Hang on.
There's a lot, and we're going to keep doing this. Yeah, this was a good idea. I didn't have to do a lot of show prep.
Yeah, some that don't involve epic athletes.
Except stay sober. That was my only challenge, is not get drunk in Vegas or Boulder.
I like this question. What is your favorite non-sports entertainment? Podcast, movies, streaming series, video games? What do you got?
What are the choices?
Podcast, movies, streaming series, video games, or anything else. Ooh, what are your favorite non-sports entertainment? That's so from
that's good.
Scott,
that's
good. Medium Bumble. Scott.
I like the podcast Locked In with Ian Bick. This guy, he's kind of crazy. He's like this teenage concert promoter in Connecticut, and he turned out to be he was defrauding everyone, and he got sent to prison.
Really?
And now he interviews inmates on their life, what it was like in prison.
Really?
Yeah, it's damn good.
That sounds interesting.
This guy's got stories. These dudes get out. Yeah, they get out like 25 years in San Quentin, and they tell all the stories of what it was like in there. I like that. And then I like TV. I know I'm not like prestige TV guy. I like I've watched every episode of like Deadliest Catch, and like I like beat Bobby Flay. I, you know, when people are like, have you watched this series? It's like the best. And I'm like, no. You see Captain Sig is on the crab.
Give the man
last
a Bush Light and give the
I know,
man
I'm
Deadliest
simple.
Catch.
I'm horrible. I listen to prison podcasts and watch Deadliest Catch. Things are going great, Pat. Really Renaissance man here.
I loved the show Only Murders in the Building with Steve Martin. My wife and I watched that. We really liked that. That was very funny, very clever. I'm trying to think what I'm actually trying to read the Oppenheimer biography. Haven't seen the movie because my wife won't go to movies with me.
I saw the movie. It's good. Good movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the biography is like 9 million pages and the print is tiny. So it's going to take me a while, but yeah. It's really interesting.
Yeah. That's about it. So I don't know what my answer would be. I talk on the phone a lot.
On the phone. You play golf, right?
I do play golf. Yeah, I do play golf.
I fish.
There was a golf question. Someone was making fun of you for golf or something. I can't remember.
Making fun of me? They should make fun of me. I'm a terrible golfer.
All right, we do have a couple stories. Two things. One, this is kind of a deal. This wasn't in the reader mailbag thing, but Justin Guardsy sent this in. Yeah. There's a sign at Rupp Arena, Kentucky basketball, home for Kentucky basketball, famous arena. Mm-hmm. The tap water quality, it's a sign declaring the tap water quality inside Rupp Arena among the best in the nation. Our annual quality reports provide all the detail. Visit at Kentucky AM Water. Kentucky AM, to learn more. Kentucky American Water. I would hope it's American. What are they bringing in? Canadian water from? Like, where else would the water be than Kentucky water? Does Rupp Arena have the best tap water? Or are we still Hilton Coliseum? I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, Louisville has very good tap water. Our tap water is excellent. I don't know whether it's Ames quality or what was it? Keokuk that tore the title away.
They're on a run. They're on a heater. Yeah. It's like Clemson. But can they stay? Are they a real blue blood? Are they a real blue blood? Or they just got Trevor Lawrence and some sign stealing going on? What are we doing? Did I say that out loud?
I don't know. Like, I first of all, in my trips to Rupp Arena, I can't say I've ever had the tap water, nor do I want to really. So, you know, I usually have like a Diet Coke from the press room.
Well, be a little healthier, Pat. Be a little healthier. Yeah,
that's
what's
issue.
Really drawing it in. That's how all those five stars show up, because they get there, and then as they're touring the facility on their visit, they stop at the water fountain, have a little water, and my gosh, I'm coming here. I think Anthony Davis and John Wall just became that good on their own. No, it was the Rupp Arena water. I don't know about the rest of it. All other water in Kentucky should be used to make
a
bourbon.
Bag. Yeah. Right. That's the main, the most important usage of water in Kentucky.
Okay. Brief People's Court. We'll wrap this up. Sean, you're in on this since Justice Ross is out. Parma, Ohio. Buckeyes. Parma, Ohio. It's a suburb of Cleveland. A woman found guilty of throwing her Chipotle order at an employee. Was sentenced to jail. This was last week. Okay. Parma Municipal Court Judge Timothy Gilligan sentenced 39-year-old Rosemary Hain on Tuesday. She got 180 days in jail, but suspended 90 of those days. Now, what happened was, let me find the little recap here on Fox8.com. And there was video of this, of course, surveillance. That she was not happy the way her food was prepared. And so she, you can watch the video, it's pretty bad. She hucks the Chipotle bowl. She brought her Chipotle bowl to the counter, slammed it down, confronted the worker, and then she picks up the entire bowl and throws it at the worker's face. Okay. So, you know, we're on the side of the fast food workers. So screw you, Rosemary. I hope you listen to Ian Bix Locked In, because that's going to be your life, buddy.
3 months? She's going to do 3 months in jail.
Well, she could have done six.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, the just a hanging judge. And it should be. And it should be. I bet you won't be happy with the food you're going to get in jail, he said.
Oh, whoa. How about that?
Yeah, this is completely. You didn't get your burrito bowl the way you like it, and this is how you respond, Judge Gilligan said during the sentencing. This is not Real Housewives of Parma. This behavior is not acceptable. Yes. This guy, the judge did media interviews. They never do interviews. I like this judge. He's on Fox 8 doing interviews about this. But just when you think he's mean, he offers a little deal. He will give, and this is what I want to know. Think of the sentence. He will give 60 days jail credit if Rosemary works at least 20 hours per week for 2 months at a fast food restaurant. She has to become a fast food worker for 2 months, 20 hours a week. She gets 2 months of her sentence knocked off, and she only has to go away for 30 days.
Wow.
What do you think of this sentence?
No, I think it's brilliant. I like it. I like it a lot. Absolutely. And you know what? Send her to Chipotle, because that's a hard fast food job to me. You have to actually, you know, combine all the ingredients with people watching you. There's some performance pressure there, you know? And so she had a bowl, so that's probably smart, because if you get the actual tortilla, they tear the tortilla, they overfill it, you know, and then all of a sudden you're trying to eat it and stuff's leaking out of it all over your hands. So I want to see her do the time at a Chipotle where, you know, it's harder than just actually grabbing a burger and putting it on a bun and slapping, you know, a piece of cheese on it. So I'm in favor of this. You know what? A month in jail is a lot, but don't throw your food at people. And then 2 months of hard time making burritos. Yeah, do it.
Sean?
This is a really interesting one. I recall working as a line cook at the Bonnet Shores Beach Club in Rhode Island one summer, just trying to get a little cash, and I grew incredibly frustrated when my burgers got sent back or my clam cakes weren't acceptable. But there's also been times where I'm in the line, I see a not very generous scoop of chicken at the Chipotle on the bowl, which this stirs up some feelings. I think the judge hit it on the head. Go live in the shoes. I think everybody at some point in their life should work in the service industry. It gives you a much better perspective, just operating in general. Getting Rosemary behind the line, pressing the tortillas, and then shifting it down, listening to somebody like me, could do some good.
It's about rehabilitation, not just punishment. That's the thing, right?
That's
our jails, our incarceration system does not do enough to put the person back out. This is skill development. She can then go back out after her 30 days.
She can.
She'll Rosemary have a new perspective.
She might have a new career.
This is the best judge we got. Judge Timothy Gilligan. You are potentially man of the year. I mean, this is a great...
He should have the next show, like Judge Judy or whatever. Give him a show.
I mean, it's inspired. Also, I agree with Pat. Chipotle's, I mean, that's like the Cadillac of tough jobs. Or I don't know what. This is a tough job.
Yeah.
That's like, you can be a fisherman and then you can be a deadliest catch sea captain. Huh? This is hard. Because the people, a little beans. No, not too many. Yeah. No, a little. Right. Oh, my God. You get right behind the wrong person at Chipotle. Subway is like that, but there's less stuff to screw up and it doesn't make the mess.
Right.
It's just there's just pico de gallo everywhere and queso. And it's a disaster. I don't know how they do it.
I as a Chipotle devotee, I respect and admire my line workers there.
Yeah. So, yeah, hug your Chipotle worker or Qdoba or whatever. We're fine with that.
I'm not sure they want to be hugged. But
no, actually, don't hug them. That's right. That's right. Anyway, I love it. Hard time. You know, they used to have those prison, right? You make like the street signs and stuff, or make the big rocks and the little rocks. Now you're just making burritos. Rosemary Hain, get your act together. Go Bucks. All right, that's the show. We'll be back on Monday. We're taping on Monday. We're not overreacting to Army Navy. You want to make a pick on Army Navy? I don't.
Or the Heisman? No, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Jaden Daniels will win the Heisman. I have no idea who's winning Army Navy.
Yeah,
sorry.
I'm going Jaden Daniels and Army. That's my exacta.
So other than that, we'll be back. We're going to two a week. We got the bowl bonanza late next week. Should be more transfer portal news as these guys start making commitments that are going to be just huge going forward.
Oh, yeah.
So plenty of stuff to listen to. Thank you for the many, many questions. We couldn't get through them all. We tried to combine them. Whatever. I'm not that good of a host, so someone else could have done better, but they don't have this podcast. I do. It's for now. We will talk to you later.